forward to that day. We'd be hanging out by the river of life. Eat of the river of life. Amen. If you would, your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And as we look at a familiar passage to most of you, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll just dwell on two verses this morning. Look at verse 3 and verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Here we again have Paul the Apostle writing to young Timothy and encouraging him, strengthening him. And he says to him, verse 3, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your love. We thank you that you have enlisted us into your army. We pray this morning as we look at this great metaphor of an illustration of our Christian life, God, that we be encouraged to be a good soldier for you. Lord, that we would understand and know that you've given your life for us. Help us, Lord, and to stay focused. In Jesus' name, amen. We know the Bible speaks of that in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And we all would agree, those of you who study your Bible and study prophecy, we know that we are living in the last days. And we believe in the imminent return of Christ, that He could return at any moment. And we know that in the last days, the Bible speaks of perilous times shall come. And we're living in those last days. We know that just in the last several years, the last 20 years, there's been a war on terror, and evil lurks throughout the entire world. And I like how our former president put it, evil. That's what it is, evil. And so we know that this is going on. We know the wars in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, the war in Libya, and whatever you may think of that. But we know our soldiers have been put in harm's way. And we know that several thousand now have died in the war on terror and given their life for us, for our freedoms, that we might continue to be free, we might continue to be safe. And we have a wonderful, wonderful group of men and women who protect us and protect our freedoms. And we need to be in prayer for them and remember and be thankful for what we truly have. There are many, many today, millions and millions, even billions today, who don't have the freedoms we have. The right to assemble together like we have this morning and preach and teach and sing of our own accord and teach and preach and sing how we would want to. Amen? And so we must be very thankful of what God has done for us and what, again, our armed forces have done for us and the price that was paid for our freedom. Memorial Day is about remembering the price that was paid for our freedom. As we think about soldiers, and again, this is a familiar passage. Many of us have heard a message on this particular portion of Scripture. In fact, I've heard probably many, many on it. And so, but the Bible speaks here of being a soldier. So God is going to illustrate for us, Paul is going to illustrate for us, our Christian life by way of a soldier. By way of a soldier. By the way, we are not drafted. We are not drafted, we're enlisted. The word chosen there means enlisted. We are enlisted in God's army. In John 6:37, the Bible says, "All that the Father give me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." The Bible speaks of that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that all that come to the Father, God will not reject. Amen? When you come to Him and ask for repentance and seek salvation from the wrath of God that's been placed upon your sin, God accepts you. Amen? That's so vitally important. We are enlisted, if you would, into God's army. And God doesn't, the army, our armed forces and so forth require certain things physically of a person. Right, Brother Charles? Right? I know Brother Charles had to lose, how many pounds did you lose now? 85 pounds to enlist in what branch are you going into? The army? So he lost 85 pounds to meet the requirements to go in. Can I tell you there's just one requirement to get in God's army, and that's repent and believe. Amen. Amen. Thankfully, it doesn't require there's no physical requirement. God is no respecter of persons. Man, God loves us all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so we understand that and know that. We are enlisted in God's army. As a soldier of Jesus Christ, and we're going to talk to Christians mainly this morning, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, we are to do several things. And we'll give you two or three this morning. One is simply found there in the verse. It says, "Thou therefore endure hardness." Endure hardness. We are to endure as soldiers. As soldiers are trained and they go through boot camp, they are trained to endure hardness. They're trained to endure physical hardness and the weather and fatigue and even to the point of not starvation, but again, needing food and all these things they go through. The yelling of the sergeant. Of course, I know now they're probably more politically correct than they used to be, but I remember one of our guys, maybe it was Jared or whoever, was saying that their sergeant used to yell to them that you're nothing but a bullet catcher. I just never forget. Was that you, Jared? Yeah, that his sergeant, you know, you're just nothing but a bullet catcher. And that's a Marine, right? Well, yeah, that's the way the Marines are, aren't they? Aren't they just a little crazy, most of them? Yeah. I meant that very respectfully. But, you know, his sergeant yelling to him, you're nothing but a bullet catcher, you're nothing but a bullet catcher. Again, it's about enduring that hardness as they go into battle, as a soldier goes into battle, enduring the hardness of battle. Once enlisted, the training begins. And by the way, the training never stops. That's really in any field. We understand that. Preacher's training never stops. In life, training never stops. You just continue to learn and go through the rigors and different kinds of testings and trials. But here, more specifically, we think about a Roman soldier. Again, Rome had defeated basically the entire known world at that time. And Roman soldiers, they were very prideful of that. And these men were trained very extensively. Roman soldiers were tough. They were the best at that time. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Do you believe Paul could talk from a place of experience when he talked about enduring hardness? And let's go ahead and turn there. We've got a little time. Let's 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and again, probably something pretty familiar to most of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read just a few verses here. You think Paul, when he's speaking here to Timothy, is speaking from a place of experience? Does he understand about enduring? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 21, or verse 20, the Bible says, "For ye suffer, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors," listen now, listen closely, Paul speaking about himself here, "in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and day, and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the church. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I miss these glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities." There's more there. Paul suffered. He went through excruciating sufferings. Nakedness, hunger, shipwreck, beatings, all these things Paul suffered. And he tells young Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." Endure hardness as a good soldier. Soldiers do not quit in the face of difficulty. Good soldiers do not quit in the face of difficulty. All of us, the Bible says, Jesus said Himself, "In this world you shall have tribulation." We all face difficulties from time to time. And maybe more, maybe you think of yourself as I've faced my share, or my fair share more than others have. But we all face difficulties. We all face trials, but we are to endure. We do not quit in the face of difficulty. Endure means to suffer. It means to suffer evil. It means to suffer trouble. It means to endure affliction. Unlike most churches and most preachers today and most entities today that preach that, you know, if you'll just come to Jesus, nothing bad will ever happen. Or if something bad happens to you, you know, that's not the will of God. You know, they say that. That's not the will of God. Can I tell you this morning that God never promised a life of no problems? God never promised that. So, preacher, that's kind of negative. Well, the Bible makes that clear. In this world, you shall have tribulation. You know, don't think that you're alone when you come to a trial or a testing or tribulation in your life. You will have those things. The Bible says they are such as are common to man. All of us face difficulties. All of us face problems. We live in a world where we have fallen. And we serve in a world where people have fallen. In other words, we're all sinful. We're all sinful. We're all selfish by nature. We also not only face those around us and the world around us, but we face Satan, that great enemy, who walks around as a roaring lion seeking who may devour. Right? And then we face those things which are within. We face ourselves. You know, you've seen that little cartoon that says we have met the enemy and the enemy is us. A lot of times the enemy is us. It's us. We like to blame others and we like to, you know, say, well, the devil made me do it. But many times it's just our old flesh who has given in to the worldly temptations. We need to endure hardness as a good soldier. We have been enlisted in the battle. And this enlistment lasts until death or until Christ's return. Until death or Christ's return. I'm looking forward to Christ's return. I'm looking forward to blessed hope. I'm looking forward to the trumpet sounding and being raised incorruptible to be with our Lord and Savior forever and ever. But I do know that in this life, trials will come. I've been in hospitals where someone would come in and we would pray with an individual, and I've had a person walk in and say, you know, God never meant for you to be sick. This is simply Satan, and Satan has done this to you and so forth, and God never meant for you to be sick. Now, if you'll pray in faith, you'll be healed today. And put it all on that person. If we just pray in faith, you know what? God can heal anybody, and God absolutely can heal anybody. I mean, we know that God hasn't quit doing miracles today. But let me tell you, I want God's will in that person's life. And simply putting it on them that if they'll have enough faith that they can be healed, that's not necessarily the case. God has a reason for why a person is in the bed sick. God has allowed those things to happen. I heard again this last week on one of those talk shows on 820, you know, talking about what does God allow and what did God do. You know what? God allows anything to happen. I mean, God is in absolute control. Can I tell you that? God is in absolute control. Many times when we face difficulties as soldiers of Jesus Christ, again, the determination of how we go through that is how we view God in our lives. Can I say that again? How you understand and what you understand about God and how big He really is determines how you face difficulties. Is your God too small? Man, many times our God is too small in our mind. Listen, my God is huge. He is sovereign. He's above all. He can do anything. His ways are not our ways. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? Nothing sneaks up on Him. He's never late. He's always on time in our lives or whatever else is going on. Paul simply said to Timothy, hey, endure hardness as a good soldier. And Paul had the life to back it up that he had endured. In fact, he's writing this book while he is in prison, while he is in bonds. He's just encouraging young Timothy, listen, stick it out. Stick to it. Endure hardness as a good soldier. I like that it says good soldier there, and we could spend time there, but we won't. But he could have just said endure hardness as a soldier. But it says endure hardness as a good soldier. I don't want to just be a soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to be a good soldier. I want to give the Lord my very best. Good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. A good soldier must be prepared to lay down his or her life for his captain, for her captain, for her general, for those in charge. a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Secondly, no man that warreth himself or warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Also a soldier must stay focused. A good soldier must stay focused. A good soldier must stay focused. We're in a war. No man in warreth. We're in a war. We are in a battle. Can I tell you that we're not in a physical battle? Ephesians describes that we're fighting against principalities and powers and those we cannot see. By the way, Satan's not an idiot. He's a great being created by God, and though he's not all knowing, he's well organized. He has the fallen angels there with him, organized, and they are keeping track, and they're keeping track of you and keeping track of me. And the Bible says that Satan is a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. Satan absolutely wants to destroy you. Satan absolutely wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your kids. He wants to destroy your spiritual life. He'll do anything he can to stomp you in the ground. He hates you. He hates you. He wants to destroy you. And just remember, when difficulties and things come into your life, and though I don't want to contradict myself, but yes, absolutely, Satan is involved many, many times in our lives. And when he is, we need to recognize the enemy. The enemy is Satan. The enemy isn't that person who maybe, you know, we have gone up against. Simply a pawn used by Satan. We're in a battle. May I say that it's a hard battle. Many times it's a hard battle. By the way, let me just clarify. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Man, life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One look at His dear face and all sorrows will erase. So gladly, bravely run the race till we see Christ. It will be worth it all. And don't let the sermon get you in a position to say, well, man, that's all negative. Listen, it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. Man, this life is just a drop in the bucket. This life is just a flower that springeth up and fadeth away when the sun comes out. It's like vapor that appears for a little while and vanisheth away. We know that this life is so short and it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. We are in a battle today. We are to be good soldiers. We're to endure in the battle as we face the particular enemies. We know the three enemies now, and I've already mentioned them once. And I always like to just review. Review's the best teacher. Our enemies are Satan. Hello? Against Satan we use what? Fight. You fight him. You use the Word of God. Jesus, when he was tempted there in the wilderness, he used the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Use the Word of God. So that's why our enemy is Satan. And our second enemy is the flesh. And against the flesh we do what? Flee. Also youthful lust. Remember the three F's. You ought to have these written down somewhere. I repeat these about every fourth message. Against the flesh, against our old flesh, the enemy that likes self and likes me, we use flee. And then our last one is the world. And against the world, faith. Faith overcometh the world. All of these are distractions. All of these are distractions. Ephesians says we are to put on the whole armor of God. All of these are distractions. They entangleth the soldier. Look there. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I always enjoy, I have enjoyed playing paintball. And we'll use Brother Clark's place as an example. He's got 3 or 4 acres in the back of his place. It's got a lot of briars and bushes and a lot of great place to play paintball on. And we play capture the flag. One team put their flag on one side and another team put their flag on the other. And man, the flag is the goal, right, of the other team. Get to the flag. And every time, we play for several hours, and every time after the battle was done, the big battle of the paint wars, we'd come home and I'd have scratches from head to foot. You know, briars and thickets and all those, just, I'd have, you know, scratches and blood and just, it's just, you know, you didn't care. You were having fun. We were having fun. We were in the battle. And if the flag was in the thicket in the briars, you just go through them. Right? I know this is silly. But listen, as a Christian, you just stay focused. you stay focused. This briars and thickets to go through, you stay focused. The thorns of this life will stick you and prod you. You just stay focused. You go through them. You go through them. You get a scratch here and there. You know, some blood running down the leg. But you stay focused. You go through them. Listen, there are so many things in this life that have a tendency to entangle us. The cares of this world. Just simply the pressures of this world. The temptations of this world. All there to tempt us and to try to distract us and entangle us. Sometimes, even good things in this life can entangle us. We think about, let's again back up. No man warreth, look there again, no man that warreth entangleth himself. Would we not agree this morning that our country has a lot of social ills that need to be addressed? And many times churches will really get heavily involved in fighting the social ills of the country or the nation. And from time to time, we even step into that a little bit and get involved in the social ills. But can I tell you that the social ills are not the main problem in America today? And there's certainly us getting involved with them is not the cure. We think about politics today. Now we're talking about entanglements. These may be good things to get involved in. Right? I mean, warring against the social ills of our day is important. And sometimes it's good things. We think about the Tea Party movement and other movements going on today, and though some of them maybe have good motives and so forth, but we need to be careful. Some of those things are good things, but they're not the best. Sometimes we settle for good instead of best. Can I tell you, we need to stay focused as soldiers of Jesus Christ. What do you mean, preacher? I'm saying stay focused. Don't get entangled with the things going on in this world. Stay focused. Focus on what? In carrying out the Great Commission, our purpose. Listen, carrying out the Great Commission, our command, our marching orders are to win people to Jesus Christ, to baptize them, and to disciple them. That is our marching orders. And yes, there's peripheral things that we may get involved in, but they're not the main thing. The main thing is winning people to Jesus Christ. The main thing is winning people to the Lord. The main thing is supporting missionaries around the world and giving to them and praying for them. The main thing needs to stay the main thing. No man worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. This life. And I'm telling you, we need to be very careful not to get distracted. Colossians 3:2 says, set or fix your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. I enjoy sports, and I enjoy various hobbies, and I enjoy, in fact, we were having Memorial Day family thing at Tanya's house yesterday, or Mom and Dad's house, and there was a few questions asked, and we were talking about sports, and anyway, we're talking about doing some arguing with sports. I said, you know what? We've always taught our kids that the umpire is always right. Well, what if he's wrong? It doesn't matter. He's right. You can't change what he says, so therefore he's right. Some parents get so uptight. Have you been to a baseball game lately? I'm talking about in T-ball. Parents get so uptight about the ump and what play he may have called, or you know, Johnny didn't get this award, or whatever, and get so uptight about sports. I'm saying, what in the world are you thinking? Man, it's just sports. You know, it's just sports. I love hobbies. Some of you guys know I like to fish. I'm not the pastor who plays golf. I like to throw the other way. I can't bend around as good, so the fishing works better. I like to fish. It's a hobby. But I know other guys that's all they do is fish all the time. Or guys that just hunt all the time. And leave off some of the best things. Maybe some of those things are good. But we can get entangled in some of those things. We can allow our children to get entangled in the affairs of this life. Oh, you know I'm right. You know I'm right. Don't get entangled with this stuff here. Don't allow yourself to get entangled with the affairs of this life. In trivial, menial things. Let's stay focused. A soldier must stay focused. We have our marching orders. We must stay focused. We must obey our commander. Our commander is the Lord Jesus Christ. We must obey Him. We must go forward for Him. We must strive for the mastery. We must finish the race. We must keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing, the main purpose of Heritage Baptist Church is to love God, to grow together, and to serve others, to get out in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, to baptize them, and to disciple them. That is our purpose. And let's be very careful about entangling ourselves with so many other things that we don't keep in our focus on the main thing. Whether it's a fall festival, or a VBS, or attending the 4th of July parade in Haslett, all the things we do has a purpose. That's to expose people to the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because as soldiers of Jesus Christ, we have a goal. We have a goal. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Set your affection on things above. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Our motivation to endure, our motivation to not get tangled up in the affairs of this life, is to please him. We've been enlisted by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our motive should be to please him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Our motivation for service is to please him. Again, we think of Enoch, that prophet of the Old Testament. And the Bible says that Enoch pleased God. And it was not, for God took him. One day, Enoch and God were walking. And God said, you know what? We're a little closer to my place than your place. Just come on up. And God called him on home. And he pleased God. He had a testimony that he pleased God. Well, should we each of us have that testimony? That we please God. Do we please God? Do we please him in every area of our life? Do we please him, or are we entangled with the affairs of this life? Are we soldiers, or are we good soldiers? The Bible talks again and illustrates for us the greatest soldier of all, of course, was Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, who shed his blood on Calvary that we might have everlasting life. As I said before, we've been enlisted. We simply come to him and repent of our sins and just believe that he lived and he died and he rose again. We become a part of the army of God. We become a part of the family of God. And again, I know the message has kind of gone negative as such, but can I tell you again, once again, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Absolutely. And though God has never promised us that our lives will be without problems, he has promised to go through with us through those problems, be with us through those problems. And I'm so glad that every time I've gone through a valley, and every time that I have faced the temptation, and every time I have faced a trial, every time that I have faced trouble, that the Lord has been with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's always there for me. He's promised to never leave me nor forsake me. We've really been preaching on this the last several weeks. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He loves us. And not only is it we have the heaven to look forward to, but we have the joy unspeakable and full of glory here on earth. I'm so glad today I'm saved. I'm so glad today that I can call Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I'm glad today that he is my boss, that he is my commander-in-chief. I can say today that I attempt, through the help of the Holy Spirit, to make him number one in my life. To put him on the throne of my life. That he truly is Lord, that he is boss. And I want to please him. Just as I want to please my earthly father, I want to please my heavenly father in everything that I do. I want to be a good soldier. Think about that old song in hymn 132. Says, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight, if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by God's Word. Absolutely, I'm a soldier of Jesus Christ. And I will endure the pain for Him. I will endure the trials and temptations for Him, that I might please Him. Enoch had the testimony that he pleased God. We as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ must endure. We as soldiers of Jesus Christ absolutely must stay focused. Sunday school teacher, you must stay focused. When you're teaching those children, you must stay focused. Why am I here? Why am I teaching? When we're out knocking doors, we must stay focused. You know, it's one thing to knock on a door and talk about the Cowboys. Another thing to knock on a door and talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must stay focused. We think about the plate that went by this morning, the offering plate that went by this morning, and many of you as members filled out your offering envelope. As you filled out your offering envelope, you gave some to tithe, which the Bible says you owe to Him, the tenth of all that God has increased you of. But there's also that little portion there where it says missions. Missions. And every dollar you put in that missions blank goes towards these missionaries who are surrounding us, these letters here on the wall, to stay focused. The little cards that Brother Stone gave us out to pray for our missionaries. The missionary of the week, stay focused. Missions is the heart of the church. Stay focused. Stay focused. As good soldiers of Jesus Christ, stay focused. Why? Why must I stay focused? That I might please Him. Why should I please Him? What has He done for me? Well, He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. He's promised to give you an abundant life now. He's promised to, if you accept Him as Lord and Savior, you accept Him as your personal Savior, He's promised to give you a home in heaven. I get to escape hell. Woo-hoo! Amen. He shed His blood for us. He gave His life for us. So we should want to please Him. Let's all stand. Hymn 162.